I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.
Ever snore so loud it registered as an earthquake, or you woke up with a throat as dry as the Sahara Desert and a headache that could stop a locomotive? Well, I've had all of these because I have sleep apnea. Hi, I'm Scott Mitchell. Yep, I wear a machine plugged into a wall attached to a hose every night. Sound Sleep Medical changed all of this for me, and they can do that for you. They specialize in providing oral appliance therapy for individuals suffering from sleep disorders. In many cases, oral appliances have proven to be as effective as CPAP machines in treating sleep apnea. The lack of sleep is a serious health risk and has been linked to heart disease, stroke, diabetes, and even depression. The oral appliance I got from Sound Sleep Medical has freed me from a hose. I can go anywhere, and I've never slept better. Call Sound Sleep Medical today. Seriously, for a limited time, the first 25 people that call get a free consultation worth $200. Call 801-783-5451. It's 801-783-5451.
All right, welcome into another Jazz Notes podcast post-game from the Jazz and the LA Clippers. Jazz pulled this one out 111-105. You know, I was on KSL's Unrivaled Wednesday night during the game, and I told the guys that if I'm a member of the Utah Jazz or if I'm a Jazz fan, I would be worried about the game against the Clippers just because the Jazz had 3 days off. On top of that, the next night, meaning tonight, the Jazz were going to play the Denver Nuggets, and then they were going to end up playing the Milwaukee Bucks coming up this weekend. So, you know, call it an Admiral Akbar game. Star Wars, look it up. You know, it's a trap. And this game ended up being a dogfight. The Clippers had a 17-point lead in the first half, but the Jazz showed resiliency. They came back. They ended up winning the game. I'll give the Clippers a lot of credit. They showed a lot of resiliency, too. Yeah, they had a 7-point lead, but they never went away. They actually gave the Jazz a pretty tough time in this game. But Jazz, a little more talented, and they came up with the big plays, you could say, in the end. Donovan Mitchell came up with some big plays in the third quarter. You know, the great thing about Donovan right now, I believe it was the other night, we had this on the Jazz Notes segment that we have on KSL News Radio. We had a soundbite. I think Eric Woodyard had asked Donovan about practicing finishing near the rim and how he wants to continue to refine his finishes. You saw that again against the Clippers. He really is turning into a good finisher near the basket as long as he, you know, has enough room. He's getting more creative with finishing near the basket. He had a really nice, in fact, his first basket of the game. He started out 0 for 5 at his first basket. He was driving hard with the right hand. They hurried to cut it off. He dribbled around his back. He went to his left. That was cut off, too, so he just kind of stopped. And then the defender stopped, too. Donovan looked off, and then he hit a nice little floater there. So Donovan is really doing a good job at refining his finishes, and he had a fantastic game. Yeah, he made some poor decisions, but, you know, that happens in the heat of battle. He ended up with 32 points in this game. He also ended up with 4 assists in this game. Had 6 turnovers, so yeah, that's not good. Donovan still needs to work on some things. And he still needs to work on his threes, too. He ended up 3 for 9. But let's talk about that crossover three. Oh, my goodness.
I probably shouldn't say this since I played for the Jazz. But you know how MJ, you know, pushed off. It was kind of similar, kind of steal that little trick, but not really pushing off too much. But that's really where I kind of envisioned that as a kid. So many times, and that's pretty much where that came from.
And on the same court, too.
On the same court, probably the same spot, I think.
It was a sweet shot. I did think when I saw the replay, okay, first of all, let me be honest with you here. I actually had my head down when he had the crossover. I heard the big oozanaws. I was trying to type something up. I heard the big oozanaws, and I saw him hit the three-pointer, and then I watched the replay because I wanted to see it happen. And as I watched the replay, I noticed that Donovan did that little push, that little shove, just ever so slightly with his hand. And then he backed up and he nailed the three. And so I tweeted that out, and someone, you know, gave me a hard time on Twitter saying, yeah, whatever, it was just a beautiful play. It was a beautiful play. If he can get away with it and he can do a little shove, it wasn't that big, it wasn't that blatant. If he can get away with that, that helps him actually create the space and also helps him stop. So it was a gorgeous play. That was a memorable play, but probably the one, my favorite one of the night, came after a couple of misses and some hustle plays by Rudy Gobert and Joe Ingles.
The passion, you know, that we have, and you can see it, you know, with that one possession where Rudy keeps it alive after those two threes, and then Joe hits one and screams in the coach's face. Like that just shows who we are.
That's, again, Donovan talking about that play. I don't remember the full sequence. All I know is that Joe passed it out to Howell Neto for a three, and Howell missed it. Eventually, Rudy tipped a rebound out to Ingles for a corner three right in front of the Clippers bench. He nailed it as he was floating out of bounds. It was amazing. He then kind of stared the Clippers bench down. Again, remember, that was the team that decided to cut him, and the Jazz decided to pick him up. So he had a little bit of fun with that one. Joe Ingles is so valuable to this team. I don't know how many more times I can say that. He is so valuable to this team. 36 minutes against the Clippers. He was only 4-for-9 with 11 points, but he ends up with 6 assists in this game, only one turnover, and he is not the quickest guy. Earlier when we on the Jazz Notes podcast this week, when I talked with Jeremiah Jensen, he was the main defender against Paul George when Paul George slipped past him and made that game winner when Oklahoma City beat the Jazz last week. But I will have to say this about Joe. He may get beat, but he makes up a lot of ground with his arms. And we've noticed this for the past couple of years now. And he did that again against smaller defenders. He got put on smaller defenders, and he was able to show his veteran savviness and how long he was and being able to rattle guys on the Clippers. So, yeah, it's just so valuable to have Joe Ingles on this team. You just wish he was younger. You wish he was in his mid-20s instead of being 31 years old, but it's fantastic to see him playing so well. So, Jazz win. They're now 34-26 heading into Denver. Wow, it's not going to get easier. Derek Favors, here he goes. He talks about the Denver Nuggets.
That's very fun. You know, just got to come out focused and understand that it's going to be a high-intensity game. And just got to go out there and play hard and get a win.
This will be like a playoff game. I think we're expecting a playoff atmosphere similar to tonight. We just got to go out there and be ready. You know, they remember what happened last game here, and they're going to come out. They're playing really well. Everybody's playing well, so we got to be out ready to come out strong.
They're going to have to play a lot better against the Nuggets. And they're going to need a lot of help from a lot of different people. Hopefully Ricky Rubio is not that injured. It's scary again. Hamstrings are a tricky thing. But I want to talk more about that. I want to talk about Ricky. Not so much the injury, but I've got a new segment I'm going to call Hot Take Theater. It's a debut segment. It's just going to be me. I don't know how it's going to sound, but I'm sure it's going to get better from here on out. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll come back to Hot Take Theater after this. All right, welcome back into the Jazz Notes podcast. It's now time for a Hot Take Theater after the Utah Jazz victory over the Los Angeles Clippers. Yes, we're using a small sample size. That sample size is that game against the Clippers. Maybe a few other games too, but Hot Take Theater presented by, I don't know, it'd be great if Hot Pockets actually sponsored this. But anyway, Hot Take Theater after the Jazz victory. Donovan Mitchell, here's a hot take from people. Here, let's start this over again. Here's the hot take about Donovan Mitchell. Donovan Mitchell is one of the streakiest players in the league, and he'll never be great until he finds consistency. Okay, that was a terrible voice. Okay, I'll readily admit that. He is streaky. Let's all admit it. He started out this game 0-for-5. The next thing you know, he was 7-for-14 from the floor. He made some poor decisions late in the game, missed some free throws, but he also made some good plays too. So is he one of the most streakiest players? Listen, I don't have any data to back it up, no advanced analytics or anything like that, but still right now, in his second season, yes, he is one of the streakiest players that you'll ever find. It's never surprising to me that he starts out a game slow. It seems like the thing that happens to him. Yeah, he started out some games hot too. Don't get me wrong, that Oklahoma City game, he started out pretty hot in that game, and then he eventually cooled down. And in this game against the Clippers, he was pretty streaky in this one, too. As I said, he started out 0 for 5, then he was 7 for 14, and then he kind of shot himself out because he started taking some long threes. And it seems like as the game goes along, the more Donovan shoots threes, he gets up high. I mean, it doesn't look like you're going to be able to block his shot because of his vertical leap, but because he gets up so high, that ball comes out, and it's usually hard. Very rarely does Donovan shoot a short three-pointer late in the game. It's almost like he has too much adrenaline. It's almost like he's not tired. He's got too much mojo going on. So, yeah, he's one of the streakiest shooters. But I'll say this. He's one of the streakiest outside shooters. I think he is doing a lot better job at actually going to the basket. And you're seeing the fruits of that as they go along. I think as he continues to do that, as he continues going to the basket and he continues to refine finishing near the basket, that's going to provide confidence for him, number one. And number two, it's also going to mean that as the years come along, he's going to be able to hit those outside shots at a better pace. You know, he's never going to be a Kyle Korver. Let's admit that. But I think he'll be able to be a better outside shooter as he keeps going along and as he keeps trying. All right, hot take number two. Yeah, you know what? Let's just skip the voice, all right? The Jazz will be fine without Ricky Rubio if he's out for an extended period of time. I mean, look how well Raul Neto played in this game against Clippers. I mean, in 17 minutes, he scored 10 points in this game, and he was pretty solid. In fact, he ended up finishing the game and was a great player out there for the Jazz in the victory. Boy, sounds like I haven't hit puberty at all. Okay, so Jazz will be fine if Ricky Rubio stays out for a long period of time. All I will say is I understand how Donovan Mitchell did when Ricky was out earlier this year, and I still think Donovan Mitchell still needs to be the lead guard for the Jazz. But I'm going to go back to when the Jazz played the Rockets last year and Ricky couldn't play against them. That right there shows you how valuable Ricky is. Yeah, if you want a streaky shooter, Ricky Rubio is your streaky shooter. He started out poorly tonight, too. He started out 1 for 6, and then he ended up, I think it was 5 for 13 before he left with that, as a precaution because he had a sore hammy. But the one thing that Ricky does, and the one thing you have to remember, is that he and Donovan are really the only two guys that can create shots for themselves, but more importantly, create shots for other guys. You don't see that a lot with the let me say this. Joe Ingles is great about creating shots for other guys. He is very deft at bounce passes to guys that lead to dunks, and I'm talking about Rudy Gobert and Derek Favors. He's very deft at doing that, and he does a lot of good things, but he doesn't have the quickness. He definitely has to, a lot of times, use a screen, and then he can get into his flow of offense. He's not going to beat you off the dribble. Derek Favors is not. And so, in reality, there are really only two guys that create offense for themselves and for other people on this team on a consistent basis, and that's Ricky Rubio and Donovan Mitchell. So I would say if Rubio's out again for a long period of time, I think the Jazz will be in a little bit of trouble because they need him on this team to be able to create offense for a lot of guys. Yes, I know the streakiness, but you need him on that floor. Whether he sticks around or not, you need Ricky Rubio on that floor as much as possible. So hopefully, for Jazz fans and for the Utah Jazz, Ricky Rubio is healthy sometime soon. Hey, little breakaway here from the Jazz, or from Hot Take Theater, excuse me. One of the things I love is the Joe Ingles do-si-do. And what I mean by that is I saw it a couple times tonight where Joe Ingles gets a screen, usually from Rudy Gobert, and he starts going around the screen with his right hand, and then he just kind of backs up. He goes around Rudy doing like a do-si-do. I want some square dance music or something like that. He does a little do-si-do, and he comes right back around, and he's back at the three-point line again. Starts at the three-point line, ends at the three-point line, does a little do-si-do around Rudy Gobert or whoever's screening for him. Sometimes that ends up at a three, and sometimes it ends up somewhere else. But it's a nice little move. You think when you get a screen, you're going to go to the basket or do something going to the basket or going away, where Joe starts out going to right, and then he switches hands and comes back to the left, and then he's back at the three-point line again. It's kind of a funky little move and fun. All right, last thing on Hot Takes Theater after the Jazz victory. The Jazz need a consistent power forward. Yeah, that's true. That's not much of a hot take. The Jazz do need a consistent power forward. Let's be honest. I've called for Jay Crowder to start in more games. Quinn Snyder, for whatever reason he feels needs to happen, he feels like Derek Favors needs to start. Love Derek Favors. He's a great backup center. He really needs to be a center. He does okay as a power forward. I like what he does, but I don't like him starting out the game. I think he's too valuable to get rid of right now. He's too valuable as the backup to Rudy Gobert. And he's valuable when he's on the floor, too, especially defensively and rolling to the rim. But he can't hit an outside shot, and that's just a fact. And then I've said that Jay Crowder should start. I still feel that way, but Jay Crowder is another guy who's really streaky. Tonight he hit his first 2 3-pointers, and he ends up the game 3 of 13. 3 of 8 from 3-point land. So all three of his makes were from 3-point land, but he is too streaky. You love having Jay on your team. You don't want to rely on him as a consistent scorer. You want him to be that energy guy and that tough guy on the floor. But he's not consistent in scoring, so they probably need someone else to be consistent. And what can you say about Tapas Efolosha? He's just not giving you enough right now just because he's been injured, and he's still, I think, trying to work himself back into being a regular rotation player right now. So they just don't have any consistency right now. I've heard other people say this, but the Jazz really need to find someone who can consistently fill that 4 spot in the years to come. I don't know if that's going to be through the draft or through a trade or signing someone in the offseason, but they definitely need to find some consistency at the 4 spot. I don't think that's much of a hot take. I tried on Hot Take Theater for the first time. Anyway, hey, thanks a lot for listening to Jazz Notes Podcast. You can find us on Apple Podcasts. You can find us on the KSL News Radio app. You can find us a lot of different places. So we appreciate you listening to us on Hot Take Theater. Jazz taking on the Nuggets, then Mealy Wake, which is Algonquin for the good land. And then we'll have another Jazz Notes Podcast coming up next week. Jazz heading towards the playoffs looking okay. They can always look a little bit better. Thanks for listening. Jazz beat the Clippers again. We'll talk to you soon.